gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. Now I want to talk to you about the passage in the light of another gospel, concerning another gospel, concerning those today who preach another gospel, and the word accursed in the passage, the fact that those who preach another gospel are accursed. Now I want to explain to you before I get into this what I'm referring to now. I'm saying unto you that there are men today that are not preaching the gospel of Christ. They're preaching another gospel. And that the way you know that they are accursed is by the fact that they preach another gospel and cannot be shown, will not see the gospel of Christ as referred to by the Apostle Paul. Now, I am not saying that the passage is teaching that these people are accursed because they preach another gospel. I'm saying unto you that you know they are accursed by the fact that they cannot see the gospel of Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, he said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them." So I'm saying unto you that those who cannot see, will not see the gospel of Christ, are accursed. Now, a comparison of some passages here before we get into this thing. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, notice in verse 37, John chapter 12, verse 37, he said, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." Now, if I just took that one passage and preached on that one passage, and never made any comparisons to other passages in the Bible concerning this, then I could use this passage to prove that there were some men, a certain group of men in Jesus' day there, that no matter what they did, they could not have believed the preaching of Jesus. And it appears as if that is true. And yet the reason they could not believe is based upon the fact of the prophecy of Isaiah. You see, Isaiah had prophesied that they would not believe. Therefore, they could not believe. In other words, I'm going to say that starting back here, this right here has to do with Isaiah. Isaiah's prophecy is there. So I come across and we'll say this is the prophecy of Isaiah across to there. Isaiah is led by the Lord to prophesy that which he prophesies based upon the foreknowledge of God. All right, I'm going to say that right here is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry. And his ministry reaches forth unto here, and they crucify him at that point. We come on the other side over there, and I find over here the preaching and the teaching of the 12 apostles. Come on out here, the preaching and the teaching of the Apostle Paul. I come on across out here, and I'll say that this right here represents the preaching and the teaching of the church, which is the body of Christ as we know it today. In other words, Paul is given the gospel that he preaches. Paul writes that down and passes that gospel on to other people, and so we preach that gospel today. Now notice, Isaiah prophesied of these people that would hear the Lord Jesus Christ, and he prophesied that they would not believe. And so the passage in John chapter 12 says they could not believe because that Isaiah said what he said. But wait a minute. Let's see why in themselves they could not believe. Go back to Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, notice verse 10, verse 9. Matthew chapter 10, verse 9. I'm sorry. Matthew 13, verse 9. Jesus said, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For," notice reason now, "for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak out of them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand." In other words, they think that they know everything. They think they see everything. They think they've got it all in a corner. They've got it all hemmed up somewhere, and that it's up to them to preach and to teach, and that there's nobody else can do it but them, and that they're the only ones that are right. And they, seeing in their own selves, see not the truth that God gives. They, hearing, hear not the truth. In other words, they hear one another. They won't listen to the truth by John the Baptist. They won't listen to the truth by Jesus Christ. They won't listen to the truth by the 12 apostles. Therefore, they can't hear because they won't hear. Now, verse 14. "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Then why is it they could not believe? Because they closed their eyes and hardened their own hearts. They refused to receive the truth. Therefore, God, foreknowing what they would do, caused Isaiah to prophesy. And when John writes, he said they could not believe. Well, they could not. And yet, they could have if they would have. But since they would not, God prophesied that they would not. And the prophecy of God cannot be denied. It cannot become untrue. For instance, if they would have been going to hear, if they would have seen, then Isaiah wouldn't have prophesied that they wouldn't see and wouldn't believe. Therefore, since Isaiah prophesied that they wouldn't, then they wouldn't. They couldn't. Not because that God stopped them from doing it, but because God foresaw they wouldn't believe and prophesied it. Therefore, there's no way for them. Now, with those things in mind, if I carry that across a little bit further, don't you see? I find the prophecy in the book of Galatians. In the book of Galatians, I find in Galatians chapter 1 that there are some men who are preaching another gospel. And I find that these men are cursed. And there is no reason for me not to admit that they are accursed. Why are they accursed? Are they accursed because that God Almighty chose them to be accursed? No. Are they accursed because God caused them to be born into this world with the intention that they should be vessels of wrath? No. I believe in the free will of man. I do not believe that God Almighty predestinated men to go to hell and predestinated some to be saved. I believe that God Almighty gave man a free will, and man can either receive or reject. But God in his foreknowledge knows who will receive and knows who will reject. And so there are some men in this Bible that will not receive the truth. They are referred to by God. They will not. They are not going to. Therefore, I want to point them out. I want us to look at them and see who they are. Now, go back with me, please, before we get into Galatians further. Go back with me to Romans and look in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16.
While you're turning there, I want to take this off up here.
All right. In Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. All right then, there is no doubt about it. There are some people in this world that I must mark. There are some people in this world that God Almighty told me to mark. He told me to identify them. I'm to identify them based upon their words. I'm to identify them based upon their speeches. And the fact that they are deceiving other people. The words, therefore, good words in the passage means obliging words. It means kind and gracious words, easy, gentle, and so forth. In other words, by these kind and gracious and gentle words, they're deceiving men. And these men end up just like them. They end up corrupt just like them. Now, back in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, he said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that calls you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. All right, the word another there is spelled in Hebrew, in Greek, H-E-T-E-R-O-S, heteros. And the word heteros in the scripture means a different kind. To get the truth of this, notice how it is translated in Luke chapter 9. Go back to Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Luke 9, 28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. The word altered there is the same word for another gospel in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. It's heteros, altered. Then I can put up here then, altered. In other words, these men then preach an altered gospel. They preach a gospel that is a different kind than that which Paul preached in view of the fact that they have altered it. They have changed the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached. That isn't all. Notice in Jude, verse 7. Jude, verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh. The word strange in the passage is the same word for another. So I'll put strange. In other words, they preach a strange gospel in that they have altered the good news that was preached by the Apostle Paul. Now, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 7, which is not another, but some there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The word alter there, which is not another, is A-L-L-O-S, allos. And the word means the same kind. In other words, if I read it like this, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is a strange gospel, having been altered by those that preach it. Verse 7, which is not the same gospel that I preach. It is not the same kind of gospel that I preach, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, the word pervert is translated in Acts chapter 2. Turn to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, and notice verse 20. Acts chapter 2, verse 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. The word turned is the same word that is translated in Galatians chapter 1, verse 7 as pervert. It means to turn something upside down. To pervert it is to turn it around, or turn it over, or turn it upside down. In other words, these men have turned the gospel of Christ into a strange and altered gospel. Look in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. All right, in James chapter 4, notice verse 9. James 4, verse 9. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning. And the reason that I'm using this passage is because I believe that it bears out the thought clearly of what the word altered, or perverted rather, means. In other words, notice the difference in laughter with that of mourning. In other words, it is absolutely positively and totally different. There are not even any likeness between them. To laugh and to mourn are totally different things. They're not the same thing at all. I mean, you wouldn't look at a man with tears flowing down his cheeks and he's crying and mourning, his heart is breaking, and say, boy, that fellow just dying with laughter. There's no possible way that you could say they're the same thing. They're totally different. They are strangers one to another, and they are not the same thing. They do not come from the same source or the same cause. They're totally different. All right, then. There are some men in this world today who are preaching an altered and strange gospel. They are perverting the gospel of Christ, turning it into another gospel. All right, back in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. Now, the word accursed, it speaks for itself. You'll notice that in Romans chapter 9, verse 3, Paul said that I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my kinsmen according to the flesh. In other words, Paul is saying, in effect, if it meant the salvation of my kinsmen in the flesh, then I could just end up in hell. I could just end up damned by God and not be saved. Which, of course, that cannot be where Paul is concerned. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, you find the word again, and it is very clear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. In other words, Jesus Christ then is not accursed by God. That is, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's not accursed. No man led by the Spirit of God would ever doubt that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and that is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now, back in Galatians chapter 1, verse 9, as we said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. In other words, if a man preach a perverted, strange, altered gospel unto you, account as if that man were accursed from God, account as if he were accursed from Christ, He's not saved. He's perverted. He's strange. And he's not your brother in Christ. Therefore, mark them, is what the Bible says. Now, I want you to notice some things about these people. Turn, please, to the book of Jude. Now, while you're turning there, I'm going to take this off of the board up there that we've written here. In the book of Jude, I want you to read with me in Jude, starting in verse 3. But before we read, I want to mention something to you. Now, it has been said in time past, the first person I ever heard mention this was Dr. Dehan years ago. He said that there is one interpretation to Scripture, many applications. I believe that there is an historical application. I believe there is an doctrinal application. And I believe there is a spiritual application. Now, I am going to make a spiritual application to this passage. Doctrinally, the book of Jude has to do with Israel in the future. Historically, it is written by Jude in the first century A.D. But I'm going to make a spiritual application of this passage concerning every individual that ever heard the gospel and got saved. Now look in Jude verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now Paul said, I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. There's laid up for me a crown. All right, I'm saying then, I'm making a spiritual application that the faith in the context has to do with the faith that we receive through believing the gospel preached by Paul. The Bible said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, then, there are certain men, verse 4, there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, then, we should contend for the faith. This faith, that which is delivered through the Apostle Paul, written down in Romans through Philemon. Why should we contend? And the word contend is to wrestle and to fight. Why should we do this? Because there are certain men crept in unawares. Who are these men? These men are ungodly men, and they're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. The word grace means unmerited favor. They're turning the fact that salvation is through the special favor of God, not that we deserve it in any way, they're turning that into a work of the flesh. The word lasciviousness is called a work of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. It is one of the works of the flesh. All right then, these certain men that are crept in unawares, who are preaching a strange and altered gospel, perverted gospel, are doing that so that they might turn the grace of God, that is salvation by grace through faith, something that we don't merit, something that we can't earn, just specially by the favor of God through Jesus' death on Calvary. They're turning that into a work of the flesh. And in so doing, are denying the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we should mark these people and identify them every opportunity that we have. Now, notice something else about them. Notice in verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Look in verse 10. But these speak evil of those things they know not, and what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Now, I want to talk to you about corruption. They are corrupting. They corrupt themselves. The word corrupt I want you to notice this word. Turn, please, to 1 Timothy and look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, read with me from verse 1. 1 Timothy 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they're brethren, but rather do them service because they're faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort, if any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. And of course, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the context would have to do with the words of the Lord Jesus Christ given through the Apostle Paul. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Then the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the context would be the words of the Lord Jesus Christ spoken through the pen of the Lord of the Apostle Paul. Now, in verse 4, in other words, if any man now preach or teach otherwise, verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh evil, envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. And of course, and I'm after verse 5 now, these men are men of corrupt minds. They suppose that gain is godliness. In other words, their God is their belly. Everything they do to benefit themselves. Their God is their belly, he says in Romans chapter 16. Now, turn please to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort of they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, so forth and so on. Now, I'm interested in verse 8. In other words, these men are men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. These men, then, that are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, these men who are preaching a strange and an altered gospel are men of corrupt minds. Therefore, that which comes out the mouth certainly has to do with that which is in the mind. Turn back with me, please, to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, the context has to do with false prophets. In Matthew chapter 7, notice in verse 15, Matthew 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, then the false prophet is going to be known by the fruit that he produces, just as a tree is known by the fruit that grows on its limbs. Turn to Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, this is absolutely unmistakable. in Luke chapter 6, verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit, but every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. In other words, what a man has in him then, that's what he's going to teach. What is in the minds of men is going to be the teaching they're going to produce. If that mind of man is corrupt, then his preaching and his teaching is going to be corrupt. It's going to be perverted. He's going to alter the truth that is put down in the Word of God. He's not going to rightly divide the Word of truth. He's going to foul the whole thing up. And notice the words that they preach are fruit. Those who eat of the fruit are going to end up corrupted by them. In other words, if you eat that which is corrupt physically, it's going to make you sick. And eventually, if you continue to eat those things, you're going to die. It's going to harm your health. It's going to alter your strength and your growth and your courage and whatever. And so it is spiritually. If you eat the words, that is, believe the words, if you partake of those words that come off of those corrupt trees, then those corrupt words are going to corrupt you spiritually, and they're going to affect your fight for the faith and so forth. Now, I'm saying unto you then that these things, these words are teaching. In other words, the corruption here is the teaching of these men. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Notice the corruption is by communications. It's by the words that come out people's mouth. Turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, notice verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Please observe that in verse 22, the conversation has to do with the corruption. Look in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In other words, God gave evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the edifying of the saints. That is, the saints are built up and edified through good preaching and teaching according to the Word of God, not corrupt teaching. The corruption is that which comes out the mouth in communication. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the context has to do with separating from lost believers in chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. He says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. There is no fellowship with these and so forth. There is no communion between you and them and whatever. Now, in chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. Notice how that came about. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. He said, I've corrupted no man. 2 Corinthians 4, 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, if we've received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. In other words, these people then handle the word of God deceitfully. They alter the gospel given through the Apostle Paul, turn it into a strange and perverted gospel, and by the corrupt words that proceed out of their mouth, they corrupt other people and defile these other people, the flesh and whatever, by turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And God said, mark these men and turn away from these men and have no fellowship with them. He said, observe the fact that these men are condemned. These men are going to get the wrath of God. Turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 2 again, and notice this conversation. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, he said, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in sin and trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Notice then the fact then that the conversation back there, we had our conversation in time past based upon the spirit that led us. There is a spirit that leads these people that corrupt the word of God and preach a strange doctrine. Turn please to 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Why? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. He said in the book of Jude, contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Certain men are crept in unawares. What are they doing? They're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. These men then, led by seducing spirits, are teaching doctrines of devils, and they are causing people to depart from the faith. They're corrupting them with the corrupt doctrines that are proceeding out of their mouths. And Paul said, you ought to mark them, you ought to beware of them, you ought to see who they are, know who they are, understand who they are, and turn away from them, and teach other people to do so. Please notice in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which are preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ, for you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. All right, then, just as in time past, Paul, by his conversation, in other words, his conversation, he could be identified for what he was by his conversation in the Jews' religion. That is, he taught the law. He taught salvation by the law. He taught salvation by works. He taught salvation by sacrifice and so forth. You could identify him by his conversation in the Jews' religion, and by teaching these things he taught, he was persecuting the church of God and wasting the church of God. I'm saying unto you that there are corrupt men today, men of corrupt minds, who are teaching false doctrines, who are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness by perverting the gospel of Christ preached through the Apostle Paul. They're altering that gospel, and they are then wasting the church, the body of Christ. They are persecuting the church, the body of Christ, by this evil doctrine that they're teaching. Turn, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, notice verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. You see, when a man gets saved, his conversation changes. Before a man is saved, you'll hear him preaching and teaching. You'll hear him talking about salvation by works. I used to believe in salvation by works. I used to believe you had to be good and do good things to get saved. I used to believe you had to be good and do good things for God to bless you and God to honor you and so forth. And then I got saved and I found out that wasn't true. It's totally different. My conversation changed when I got saved. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 2. In 2 Peter chapter 2, Notice verse 7, a reference to God delivered just Lot, that is, justified Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. You see, the conversation then is that whereby you can identify the individual. Now, turn please to Philippians, and notice in Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Philippians 1, 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Our conversation then is to be that which pertains to the gospel preached through the Apostle Paul, the gospel of Christ. Look in chapter 3, Philippians 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as you have us for an example. Go to verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. In other words, then, I am to mark these individuals by their conversation. As the corrupt communication proceeds out of their mouth, these false prophets are preaching a doctrine that is not true. They do not rightly divide the word of truth. They are perverting and turning the gospel of Christ upside down and altering it and making it into a strange gospel. And by doing this, they're corrupting men, and they are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. That is, they're turning the fact that salvation is without works. Salvation is through what Christ did on Calvary, and they're turning that into a work of the flesh. Do good, and you can be saved. Keep the commandments, and you can be saved, they're saying. Repent and be baptized, and then keep the commandments. And someday, when you stand before the judgment bar of God, they say, your good works are going to be weighed against the bad. And if your good works outweigh the bad, then the judge will say, enter into thy peace and safety and whatever, thou good and faithful servant. Well, that is corrupt communication that is proceeding out of their mouth, and it is turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Therefore, we are told in the Bible to mark them and to account them as being condemned, as being damned, as being lost, and as being men that are going to end up in hell. And Jesus said, if the blind follow the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. Don't follow these people. Mark them, and teach your children to mark them, and teach others to mark and identify these individuals.